Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So let's shift gears once again. We're going to talk about some different ideas and some different strategies. And so let me just really, set this up and explain it to you, I just really need to get the guest on and we'll talk about it together. Adam Taggart is our guest today, co-founder of Peak Prosperity. He's also an author. And the book, Prosper, How to Prepare for the Future and Create a World Worth Inheriting. And that was co-written with Dr. Chris Martinson. So we're glad to welcome Adam to the program. The website for our discussion today, and of course you can go on and take a look at a lot of great resources, peakprosperity.com. And Adam is president and co-founder of Peak Prosperity. He wears lots of hats over there, but his basic job is to handle the business side of things, and his fellow co-founder, Chris Martinson, is free to think and write and do his thing. Adam's experienced Silicon Valley internet executive and a Stanford MBA. That's an interesting combination. Prior to partnering with Chris, he was also vice president at Yahoo, and he served with them for 9 years. And before that, he did the startup thing. And then before that, after graduating from Brown University, he also got a firsthand look at the investment banking world over at Merrill Lynch. So what an interesting background, Adam. Welcome to the program.
Oh, David, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome. And, you know, I have a theory, and it's tongue-in-cheek, but it's still fun to think about, that our lives are written backwards. And that, look at this background you have and what it has prepared you to do today. Very interesting. And so almost as if it's written backwards to say, what would you need to do what you're doing now? I wanted to have you on because I just think that the thinking that you and Chris have is different. And so give us kind of a thumbnail overview sketch of and this is kind of a bold way of asking the question, but Adam, how do you see the world? Where are
sure.
we? I mean, I know that there are a lot of different things that we're going to face as challenges in the future, and we can talk about them, but where are we? What do you think?
Sure. So those of your readers that may be familiar with us know that we have a very defined perspective on the world.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that don't, we present it in our sort of magnum opus work called The Crash Course. It's something that my business partner, Chris Martinson, first conceived and put online as a course of video chapters starting in 2008. And I think the last chapter launched about a month before the 2008 credit crisis.
Mm.
And the reason why that's relevant is the whole premise of the Crash Course takes a hard look at the trends that are most likely to impact our way of living in the next couple of decades. And the framework focuses on the three E's. That's the economy, our energy systems, and the environment. And Chris, who is a PhD, he's a trained scientist in the biosciences. What he's done is looked at the big trends and concluded through a lot of empirical research that the big takeaway from the story is that our current lifestyle is basically made possible by a number of trends that are unsustainable.
Mm.
And the definition of something being unsustainable is that one day it'll eventually end. And so we're looking at both a money system and a financial system that we believe almost has an expiration date on it, if you will.
Okay.
And similar concerns about key resources from the natural environment that we use to power economic growth and just live our lives, that is going to become increasingly compromised as we march into the future due to scarcity and increasing costs. And while it does sound a little dark, a little doom and gloomy, it's not intended to be. It's really just intended to be an eyes wide open look at the math. And from a math perspective, we have a planet with finite resources.
Right.
We have an awful lot of debts that we've built up.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a global population that is still growing and growing at an exponential rate. So my partner, Chris, was born in the 1960s, the early 1960s, when there were about 3 billion people on the world. Today, there's about 7 billion. And if he lives to a ripe old age, they project there'll be 9 to 10 billion people on the planet at that point.
Wow.
So for us, it's really a very simple calculation where the resources per capita ratio is going to be on a march downward as we look across the next several decades, just because we are getting better and better at extracting the resources that we have and using them more quickly, and we are continuing to add more and more people to the planet. So if I had to try to answer your question quickly, we see that we are looking at a future that will be defined by less. And we just think that's reality. Now, there's an awful lot we can do about that, but right. We just need to make sure that everybody is looking at the data and aware of these trends. And then once we are, and once we kind of get through the emotional discomfort of, oh, that doesn't really feel very good,
right.
Then we can have a discussion about, all right, well, it doesn't have to be a bad future. Let's talk about how we can step into this future with optimism and with prosperity. And that's really the main focus of the book Prosper that we're going to talk about
right,
here today.
Right, sure. Well, I mean, if you can't at least call something a problem and call it what it is, then how do you go about working on it and saying we need to do something about it if we don't recognize that there are some challenges that need to be addressed? And, you know, I've had many a conversation with myself, maybe out on a long bike ride or something like that, Adam, that I'm like, how can we, I know we're getting better, as you said very well, getting better at getting to resources, and there are these resources and we have these things, but there is only so much of certain things. And how do we sustain all that? And there seems to be no slowing down, as you also talked about with the population. And, you know, as Isaac Asimov used to describe our crowded spaceship, you know, it does make me wonder. And then there, of course, and the reason why I wanted to have you on the program is there's so many financial implications, both opportunities to invest, but also potential risks and or losses that may accompany some of these what I think we're probably you would describe as major shifts in the way our economy and also our ecology work.
Exactly. And I think you put it very well, which is there will be challenges and there will be great opportunities as well. And so really our mission is to get people aware of essentially the facts that are in play and then try to help identify, you know, where the challenges are and steps that we can take as individuals to minimize our vulnerabilities to them, and then also shine lights on the opportunities so that people who are awake to them and have the means, resources, and willingness can pursue them.
Well said, Adam. Well, let's do this. Let's grab a break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about some of the fundamental differences that we may see for our economy, say, over the next 20 years. You know, keep it in a bite-sized chunk that we can handle just the next 20, not even getting 50 or 100 years out. So let's do that. We'll be right back with Adam Taggart. Ladies and gentlemen, stay right there.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Digny Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
And we're back. You knew we would be, and I'm glad to be back because we've got Adam Taggart on the line, co-founder of Peak Prosperity, and the website, peakprosperity.com. The book, Prosper, How to Prepare for the Future and Create a World Worth Inheriting. And we're talking to Adam because he's going to give us some different perspective, and it's not necessarily what you're going to hear on the 24/7 cable news outlets on the media machine and talking about the market being up 50 points and that's a story, and the market being down 50 points and that's a story. And we're getting into some other things, I think, that are very important for us to keep in mind as we think about our future, our finances, our families, all of that. And I said it before the break there, Adam, I know you didn't need the time to prepare for it because I know you talk about this a lot, but I wanted people to know where we're going here. What are some of the thoughts you have about where the economy or how the economy will look different in, say, the next 20 years? You know, we've seen innovation, we've seen change, but will we see an acceleration of changes? And will there be some, again, major paradigm shifts that's not just a natural extension of, you know, for example, average mile per gallon going from 25 to 50, but more significant changes that we will face and need to deal with?
As we like to say in the story, your local mileage might vary.
So, okay.
I think we will see trends that will have be expressed differently depending upon, you know, where people live and what their personal situation is. But in general, we see this as less likely the world is going to transform overnight and more akin to what we compare to a bowling ball going down the stairs, where you start from a certain baseline and then there's a relatively time compressed event where things change, and then the system re-equilibrates and forms a new baseline, and then, you know, trundles along for some while, and then there's another change. But the overall trend is we think likely going to be downwards in terms of slowing economic growth. And certainly from a market standpoint, we think that, and I realize that this is, you know, not happy news for folks that are, you know, managing portfolios, planning retirements, things like that. But we see that market instability is likely to going to become more and more volatile as time
goes
on. And we have a number of reasons for that. But the fundamental one is, we have a problem in this country and frankly in the world of too much debt. Our debts have been growing exponentially ever since about 1971. And the system is actually structured for debt to grow that way. It has to grow that way or else the system begins to become quite unstable. And that's exactly what we saw in 2008. And since 2008, the central banks have done their absolute best to try to get that debt, try to enable that debt growth to continue. And they've done that by pumping literally trillions of dollars into the system since 2008. And we are still just kind of trundling along at pretty meager economic growth. So from an economy standpoint, we basically tell people, look, get ready for more volatility. It's going to be harder to grow the economy going forward than it has been. And that's going to translate largely into asset prices that are not going to grow as fast as they have in the past. And quite honestly, we think the future will likely be punctuated with some pretty big market corrections. And particularly as we look at in the near term, we see the risk as growing unacceptably high and from our point of view. And the main shorthand reason for that is the fundamental causes of the 2008 credit crisis that we experienced have not been addressed since then. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, they've literally been papered over. And so that's allowed asset prices in a lot of areas to recover, but that's really a false prosperity. It's really not a true natural state valuation. And as we begin to have more trouble going forward in maintaining the debt growth that we need, we're going to see natural market forces of deflation begin to win out. And we could very easily see another 2008 style market correction, and sadly, we think it could be even worse because of all the stimulus we've pumped in. We're now going to be falling from a higher level.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
No, it does. And you know, to the point that you kind of preface the, you know, those thoughts, Adam, with the point that, you know, it may not be good to hear, but you know what, the from an investor standpoint, from a financial planner standpoint, what we need is reality, because I can't, it's difficult for me to plan or to plan well if I'm doing it all based on a lot of, you know, yes man or, you know, flowery, not real, you know, just air. That's very hard for me to plan with. But if I can plan with real numbers, real data, real expectations, real precision, then we can, in fact, do the right type of investing for people that will prepare them, protect them, and do those things that need to be done. And, you know, the thing, I couldn't agree more about the debt. I still am baffled. I suppose I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be naive about this, but I'm still baffled when I look at, you know, and anybody can go online and do this, like the usdebtclock.org, and you look at, watch the numbers just spin, and I look at the revenue that the United States brings in, U.S. federal tax revenue of $3.2 trillion or so a year. And you look at that, and we're still running a $440 billion deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that there are certainly, I'm not going to make this a political commentary, and I know people have different opinions about how do we fix that $400 billion deficit. But I mean, the numbers are just spinning, and either there's only a couple of options here. You spend less or you have more revenue. And then of course the optimist in me says, well, is there a way for us to grow our way out of this and increase the economic activity on which we are getting tax revenue? And so some of your concerns about slowing economic activity, and I don't mean to understate them, is very important in considering the options.
Exactly. And exactly to your point, right? For the past 30 years or so, we have been increasing our debts at about twice the rate at which we've been growing our income or our national GDP. And as a financial planner, you know, if any household were to do that, well, they would eventually go bankrupt at some point in time. And because countries, have a little bit more leeway to bend facts for a while, we've been able to get away with it, particularly because we're the U.S. and we enjoy a certain advantaged position in the world. But it's something that cannot continue forever. And sadly as well, the U.S. is not alone in living above its means. Really, every country out there is in the same boat. And at some point in time, that is going to increasingly matter. And we're living in a world, as we've seen in Europe with Greece over the past few years, where even when one of the weaker players or weakest players on the board begins to fall, the system is now so interconnected,
right,
particularly
right.
with the hundreds of trillions of derivatives that are out there, that really nobody knows exactly how they all interplay with one another, where it's like a domino effect, where even though a small player is small in size, if they fail, they may be so interconnected given credit default swap agreements and debts owed to one country that's then owned to another country that's
right.
then owned by pension funds in five other countries. It can start a domino contagion effect that begins to bring down bigger and bigger players as it worsens. So the point is as I said earlier, the path that is being pursued right now is unsustainable. And we can call that good, we can call it bad. We just want to call it for what it is, which is it's something that's not going to last forever. And we feel, for a number of reasons, that we're getting late in the game in terms of the status quo being able to continue unabated.
Yeah.
And so it's really just looking at, okay, well, what do we think the potential changes are to come? What are the most likely ones? And how can we position ourselves both defensively or opportunistically around them?
Well, let's go to that then. We'll grab a break. We'll come back and talk about some of the specific things that we may be able to do to prepare ourselves. And I'm optimist eternally. We'll look at some ways to do better and be prepared for some of these scenarios. Adam Taggart's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. And we will grab that break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back. Prosper, how to prepare for the future and create a world worth inheriting. PeakProsperity.com. That's the website. And we're glad to have Adam Taggart, who co-founded and also co-authored with Dr. Chris Martinson on the organization and the book. And it really is remarkable if we just look back a little bit, and say, well, golly, how did we get here? And you, of course, made the point, Adam, that it's been, the last 30 years or so. If we roll back and say, well, golly, what was it like? And if we go back to like 1980, the national debt, not 18 or 19 trillion, it was 900, just shy of $1 trillion. So that our debt's gone from $1 trillion since 1980 to 18 trillion.
That's pretty quaint, huh? Doesn't it, when you think about back then?
Yeah, you're putting it. Yeah, that is a good way to kind of look at it. So what are some? We've got people's attention, Adam. What are some of the things that you think? I mean, I know as a financial planner, we do not put, everybody's assets into the stock market because of all the reasons that you cited before, and we have a lot of different things that we do to protect and to, hedge our bets, if you will. What are some of the things that you think we should be thinking about and looking at to hedge some of these future scenarios?
Sure. And this is the number one question we get when we go out there and present the material that you and I have talked about up to now in the interview. And that's really what's contained in our crash course offering, book, videos, et cetera, where it really is sort of problem definition. Hey, everybody, these are the things we need to be aware of. Now we get to get into the fun stuff, which is the, okay, well, gosh, if that's what the future is going to be like, well, what should I do about it?
Right.
And we find that when people are confronted with those facts that we just discussed, they clearly, you know, understandably get pretty nervous. And when they ask that question, what should I do? They're usually asking, what should I do with my money? And so we can hop into that right now. The one thing I want to just pre-sell here is the book Prosper talks about how my partner Chris Martins and I look at the world, and we encourage people to expand their definition of what investing is. And we feel that there's a number of other different types of capital that are going to have equal value along with money in this type of future that's coming. So I'll talk about financial capital or money right now, but hopefully we can reserve a couple of minutes to just touch on the other forms of capital as well, if that's okay.
Sure.
Great.
Absolutely.
So with money, you can probably understand that, you know, we, in the immediate term, definitely encourage people to adopt a greater defensive stance than probably the average, you know, retail investor does, particularly because we expect that there's a relatively high probability of another market correction coming along in the next couple of years. So, you know, we encourage people to do all the right things of, you know, diversify. It's a good time to build cash, to be honest, in our opinion. We definitely think on the financial side, you generally focus on return of capital versus return on capital.
Yeah, no kidding.
But at a high level, we feel that we are experiencing we're at the very start of a secular shift that probably will last for decades, which is, in the old days, it was really easy to identify who were the wealthy people because they owned all the land, right? They had all the forms of what we call primary wealth. They owned the farmlands. They owned the timberlands, the people who had productive enterprises. Over the past century or so, wealth has become highly financialized.
Yeah.
You know, stocks, bonds, et cetera. And it's important to realize that those are paper forms of wealth. They're claims. They're claims on derivatives of those real things or the real things themselves.
Right.
So a derivative of a real thing might be an ore vein in the earth, and then a derivative of that might be the steel that you make from that ore, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we feel that as we enter an era where there's a higher than acceptable risk of continued monetary inflation, which really what I'm talking about here is the value of your dollars or your pounds or whatever you hold your currency in, losing its purchasing power over time, which is something that has been happening with the major world currencies over the past several decades, that people are going to be increasingly storing their wealth in assets that can't be inflated away. So, you know, when the Federal Reserve and the World Banks, print up, $4 trillion in new thin air money as they had in 2008.
Right.
In fact, even double that if we include the Bank of China.
Right.
The value of each of those dollars, you know, goes down because you're increasing the supply while assets are remaining fixed. Well, so we think that trend is highly likely to continue. So the question is, how do you protect your wealth against being devalued by that type of inflation? Well, you put it into hard assets because you know, there's only so much arable farmland. There's only so much ore in the ground. So we encourage people to look for investment opportunities like those. We are, probably no surprise, fans of owning a percentage of your wealth in precious metals, in gold or silver. Those have been time-honored way to protect purchasing power of wealth for centuries, millennia, really.
Yeah, you like coins or you like something else?
We usually do recommend that people, we have a free buying guide on our site that lists our entire philosophy about this, but we do recommend people start with the physical bullion themselves, something they can hold in their hands and store safely. We do recommend that people go with the sovereign coins for the main reason that they are highly recognizable, universally accepted, and it's pretty easy for an experienced dealer to recognize one, say their quality, and be willing to take it. Whereas if you go in with something that's non-traditional, they're either usually going to want you to, they're going to want to buy it at a discount, or in certain cases, they might not want to buy it at all if it's unfamiliar to them.
Right, exactly. So, so as a strategy, then, it's not a bad idea to again, have a little bit of hedging where you own some different forms of hard assets, or, you know, what we call the non-correlated assets with the market, and things that will move independently. And we sometimes, of course, hear certain quarters, and it seems to come from some extreme component to it that, you know, and you probably have seen the commercials on television, Adam, of, you know, put your whole IRA into gold. And I always bristle at that. I'm like, you know, isn't that kind of overkill? So do you agree with me to some degree that, you know, maybe not everything you have goes into some of these alternatives?
Oh, I completely agree. And again, I think that's at the heart of a well-diversified portfolio, where you don't have all your eggs in one basket. And Chris and I recommend, for people starting out, you know, consider something like 5 to 10% of your portfolio.
I can live with that.
Precious metals. Personally, we're higher, but it's because we study the metals and follow them quite closely. And,
right.
And there are some other reasons for that. But yeah, for the average person, we would say, you know, initially consider starting with 5 or 10%. I'm really glad you mentioned the word hedging, though, because for, you know, the many of us who will still be keeping a portion of our wealth in paper instruments, right, like stocks and bonds and whatnot, there are a lot of defensive strategies out there where, you know, you're essentially using hedging techniques to provide, right, some insurance to your portfolio. And we think that hedging is a really sadly underutilized.
Why don't we do this, Adam? We'll have you back to talk more about it. In the meantime, people can go to the website peakprosperity.com, and the book is Prosper, How to Prepare for the Future and Create a World Worth Inheriting. And unfortunately, we're out of time, Adam, but enjoyed having you on. And it's very much a pleasure. And I love your insight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Real pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.